RTI Podcast, latest today. Happy to be joined by GoVols 247 recruiting analyst and guru, Ryan Callahan. Ryan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for coming on with us today. I know it's a busy time of year for you as we're getting there, as camps start to open up and, you know, we get ready for June to get here. Start off with that. What's that been like the last 365 days? We're getting up to 400 days before camps get back going again. What's it been like in the recruiting industry?
It's been a little weird, to be honest. Things that, you know, normally are just a staple of everything you cover and everything that happens in recruiting, visits, camps, you know, just obviously haven't happened. So it's been a little different from that standpoint. And, you know, players have been able to come on campus here and there, but it's always been sort of on their own. They can't meet with coaches. So we've kind of had this looming uncertainty of, I'm going to take visits when this is over. It's something you heard a lot of times and you just haven't known, and the players haven't known when that would be. So I know it's been tough on the players. You know, so many have lamented how much this has complicated things for them and how they need to really be able to take some visits. And some have done the best they can on their own, but it's been unusual. And to not have that normalcy to cover has been strange. But on the flip side, it's about to end now. The dead period set to end May 31st, and everyone will be on campus here soon. And it'll probably be a pretty wild month of June, the way things are set up right now, with a month full of official visits and camps and everything else that's been on hold for more than a year now.
Ryan, how's that going to play out? Is it going to be like the Wild Wild West come June, where, you know, Tennessee, okay, let's take for instance Tennessee, you know, they want to get a bunch of guys in for camps, they want to get some guys in for visits, but then maybe you have schools like Florida or Georgia kind of pulling them their way and say, okay, well, once you come here this weekend, you know, compared to going there, is that what it's going to look like in June and a little bit of July? Is that, okay, it's a tug of war between who can give the best pitch to why to come to this campus?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be part of it. There are plenty of players out there who have already scheduled official visits for all four weekends in June, word kind of got out in about mid-March that this was likely to happen, or that things were finally moving toward the dead period, maybe ending May 31st. So schools and players wasted no time just jumping right to scheduling official visits, which obviously in a normal year, they could have started in April. So it's only a little bit behind schedule from that standpoint. But yeah, guys having almost a month to squeeze those in June before. And just a reminder, if you're not familiar with the recruiting calendar, another dead period will start June 28. It's usually a little bit earlier than that in June, but there's always a nearly month-long dead period during the summer that gives coaches kind of their one break of the year to actually take vacations of their own. So thankfully for coaches, they're still keeping that this year. So it compresses the time frame even more for players to go on those visits. So yeah, those 4 weeks in June, and then about a week at the end of July before preseason camp starts everywhere across the country. It's going to be pretty wild during those 5 weeks in June in particular. So yeah, it's going to be a limited time frame. Some guys will still do what, you know, we've seen a lot over the years, kind of a summer tour. They'll go on vacation with their family maybe and hit several schools in one trip. But otherwise it's going to be, you know, picking your spots, and some players won't be able to do everything they want. So there's going to be some competition for sure. And some strategy to this too. I think from Tennessee's standpoint, I think there's kind of the thought on Tennessee's end that maybe later this year they'll be better positioned to really make up some ground with some players. So do you want to risk using an official visit on players in June, or maybe take your chances and see if you can host that player during the season or later in the year with that official visit? You don't want to use it too early, and that's always a strategy in official visits. So a lot of jockeying and a lot of decision making that goes into all of that that schools are kind of wrestling with right now.
It's going to be a complicated couple months, but I mean, you know, I guess we're almost here, so they'll have to play it out. I want to pivot back to before spring started and spring practice for Tennessee and what came out of that. Before we get into the transfers that came in, what did you make of Josh Heupel's first spring? I know we had limited access. We did get to speak with all the coaches and whatnot, you know, during that time. But what were a couple of takeaways from you, you know, having to transition from UCF, get up here, do some recruiting? Okay, by the way, also, we have to do spring practice and install offense, defense, and whatnot. How do you think he handled that?
I think he did a pretty good job. I think the smartest thing he did that maybe gets overlooked a little bit in hindsight now is pushing back spring practice an extra week. Normally they would have started a little bit earlier. He was late getting the staff hired with all the complications they had. And early March or so was when Mike Eckler finally got in to complete the staff. And so it would have been really rushed, obviously, to get things started around March 10, March 12, when they usually start. So no rush this year. Coaches don't have to go on the road to recruit April 15. Why not just push it back an extra week and you get to have more of the spotlight for your spring game on April 24th than you would have on April 17th. So that was smart. And then once they got started, they didn't have to be interrupted by spring break and all that. So that worked, or that wasn't an issue. So that worked out okay too. So I think they got a pretty good bit out of spring practice from that standpoint. But obviously the limitations in personnel, I think, really challenged them in some spots. Obviously, linebacker is one that stands out, where you're down to four scholarship guys at one point. That's just tough to deal with for any team. And not having a lot of proven options at some positions, you know, you're going out there with a skeleton crew at times to sort of see what you think you have on this roster and figure out where you need to adjust going into the fall. So I think they got out of it what they could, and were pretty productive at most positions, and at least have a better sense of what they need to do going into the fall. And that's why they've hit the transfer market in some of the positions they have, just knowing they need to still add help wherever they can and make this roster as good as it can be without sacrificing too much of their flexibility for future years in a way that might affect recruiting. So I think it was a pretty good spring overall. Found some playmakers in some spots, but still young in some other positions where they obviously have tried to add some help via the transfer portal and get some veterans in there that can help them this season.
When you just kind of brought it up with the transfer portal, when you look at what Tennessee has brought in and what they're still going after right now when it comes to guys that can come in and make plays, which position maybe surprised you if there was one? Because Tennessee fans will come at it, and we've all heard it. Okay, Tennessee has four scholarship quarterbacks. Okay, and then they add Joe Milton. Okay, so that's five scholarship quarterbacks. I think we all can agree that Caden Salter will be back with the team if he wants to be. At a certain point, maybe not like the others in that situation. So now you sit here with five scholarship quarterbacks. What was your thought, Ryan, on them going out and taking Joe Milton, who Josh Heupel was familiar with from his time at Missouri, and also back channeling back to Orlando as well, where Joe Milton is from. So your thoughts on the quarterback position as we sit here and get ready for summer workouts?
I like the move to bring in Joe Milton. We got to one of the few things we did get to see this spring was the open practice back on April 10, and seeing that practice that day, I kind of came away thinking, because the word had kind of gotten out at that point already that Joe Milton was a real possibility for Tennessee. And my first thought that day was, I completely understand why this staff wants to bring in another quarterback. And it wasn't because those guys out there that day looked that bad. I just think it's so much the same group that we saw last year that you're just adding Hendon Hooker and taking out JT Shroud and Jared Garantano. And it's mostly the same group right now. So you needed to bring in some extra competition, and maybe it would have been different if Caden Salter had been out there this spring, but he wasn't. You didn't know for sure that you could count on him or what you have in him. So I think it made sense to bring in somebody else to provide some veteran experience and Power Five starting experience at another school, and just to see if you can fix that position, because I think you've got to do everything possible to fix that position. It's so important in any system, but especially to this staff with what they want to do on offense. You've got to be able to push the ball down the field and do the kinds of things you want to do when that's what you're selling and that's the basis of kind of everything you're doing. So I don't blame them at all, and I think it's going to be a fascinating competition. You know, I don't think they brought in Joe Milton to sit on the bench, but at the same time, you know, you've got to let it play out, and he's got to win the job. If he's going to be the guy, he's going to have to come in and earn it pretty quickly. So fascinating battle, and you throw Caden Salter in there as a real wild card too. I don't know how it's going to shake out, and I still won't be surprised if Tennessee starts multiple quarterbacks this year. That's probably if you were setting the betting odds right now, I'd say that's probably still the most likely outcome, is that more than one guy starts at some point. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds, but I think it's the kind of thing that Jeremy Pruitt's staff, frankly, should have. And I think they tried a little bit more to address that position in the transfer portal at times, but I think it's the kind of thing that I would have been doing if I were Jeremy Pruitt the last couple of years, is doing everything you can to fix that position, because we've known for really, what, 3 years that that position was an issue. You've got to just throw everything at the wall and see how quickly you can turn over that room and see how quickly you can make it better.
So let's talk about linebackers for a minute. Tennessee added, it's not officially university-wise, but he has committed Juwan Mitchell to Tennessee. That has been in the works for a while now with Brian Jean-Mary, linebacker coach. You look at that spot, Ryan, and Tennessee struggled last year. In my opinion, there was a lot of times where Henry Toa'atoa was taking more time trying to get Jeremy Banks and Crouch lined up than being able to worry about the play that was upcoming. So then you lose Toa'atoa and Crouch, and now you're trying to deal with Jeremy Banks recovering from offseason, you know, shoulder issues. So you look at the spot, and it's so thin in the spring. Why did Tennessee, and I know the obvious answer would be Toa'atoa and Crouch, but in your opinion, how did Tennessee get to a point where they really only had four guys at that inside linebacker spot? And let's be honest, we did, two of them were former walk-ons.
Yeah, well, first of all, you've got to give credit to an unusual offseason that threw some curveballs Josh Heupel's way that he never could have foreseen. He must have been thinking on some days, what did I do to deserve this? I mean, without anything else that I've got hanging over my head, I lose one linebacker to, obviously the incident at Stokely Hall back in March, and then or a couple linebackers in that position, but one, a newcomer that, you know, Aaron Willis, that a lot of people thought had a chance to maybe come in there and compete for early playing time. And then you get the animal cruelty allegation against Aaron Beasley. It's like everything that could have gone wrong at that position did. And then obviously not having Jeremy Banks out there too just complicated things in the short term for sure, and made it difficult to see what you have. But I think even once those guys get back, even if they do, you know, add a couple guys back, and obviously Martavius French looks like is gone. So you do lose one of those guys permanently. And you know, even if something unexpectedly did happen where you get a guy back, you know, it's still not a great position numbers wise. And they got there partly through recruiting the past couple of years. That's a position they didn't really ever completely address the past couple of classes. They had two inside linebackers at one point in the 2021 class. And then lost Terrence Lewis. And that was one of the guys they never really fully replaced before Jeremy Pruitt was fired. And that was one of those spots they were going to use on a transfer to begin with. So losses like that in recruiting and just not fully meeting some needs. And the defensive line is another position they never really fully addressed under the previous staff that kind of led to, again, taking a transfer in Caleb Tremblay. So you get in that position, and at some point the numbers just have to be addressed. So I don't blame Tennessee at all. Obviously, knowing what we saw this spring, it made perfect sense. But even knowing once you get a couple guys back, it's going to be a little bit better. You still probably need some help there. And a guy like Juwan Mitchell that started 13 games at Texas just seemed like a good fit overall. And kind of a no-brainer for Tennessee to add someone like that when you can get him.
Looking at the defensive line real quick before we pop into some recruiting, I would expect Tennessee to still look at that defensive line in the transfer portal for them to go after – another player. I think we'll start seeing I don't want to say a good amount. You know, Minnesota had a defensive lineman pop out yesterday into the portal. So there's guys, you know, Caleb Tremblay's in there. Tennessee has a connection to that. They make due to that connection. If you had to pick two positions, and we'll go ahead and say defensive line is one of them, because I think there might be some attrition at the defensive line before the season even starts. So if it's defensive line, what's another position you think that Tennessee should go after and maybe try to nail down a position group this summer in the portal?
Open to adding an edge rusher too, but I think they've gotten enough there out of guys like Tyler Barron, Byron Young, that they're at least okay at that spot. But I think that's a position you've got to keep addressing too.
One position group that you thought stood out among the rest, either that be offensive line or the wide receiver group or the depth at running back, you know, where it feels like they maybe have three guys, maybe four guys that they could depend on this season, or flip it to the secondary group, something along those lines. Which group stands out to you? It's been like, okay, this might be the position group that could carry Tennessee in certain circumstances next season.
Yeah, I think it might be the offensive line to some degree, just because you have a good bit of experience there. They did look pretty good at times, but you have to put that into context against a defense that obviously was missing some guys and struggling in the front seven. But they, when you've got a group that's got, you know, Cade Mays, Darnell Wright, there's still some talented players in that group, and Jerome Carvin, guys who've kind of waited their turn to step into the lineup and now have more of an opening with a few guys gone. That's a group that to me is at least in pretty good shape and isn't showing as much of the wear of a coaching transition as some other positions are. You know, I think running back would be a close second for me, but to me is still just enough of a wild card that let's see how those guys do in games. Let's see how they stack up against SEC competition, because there are still a lot of unproven guys at that spot. Jabari Small has even had a relatively small workload for a guy who might be the primary ball carrier to start the year. And Tyon Evans is still a newcomer. So you've got some untested guys there, but the offensive line to me has enough experience, enough talent, a couple former five stars. You've got to find a way to put things together at that position. And they looked like they were at least capable of that this spring. So I would say that needs to be something this team can hang its hat on. And based on what we saw this spring, they're at least capable of doing that if everyone plays up to their potential.
So I want to touch on recruiting just for a few minutes, and I appreciate you joining us. So Tennessee right now, we know that, you know, they're going to host players this summer, but I want to take a step back from that. The relationships that Josh Heupel, Golish, Banks, these guys are trying to build up with these players and not being on the job long. And also you have to factor in, like you said earlier, you can't host these guys. You can't go in their house. You know, you can talk to them over the phone, but you can't do much besides that. And then also add on to the fact that you're seeing a little bit of negative recruiting when it comes to the NCAA investigation that kind of hangs over Tennessee at this moment. How do you think Tennessee has handled, and I'm talking about the coaching staff, how do you think they've handled so far this new life of the SEC, but also knowing, man, this is hanging over us and the people are using it against us?
Yeah, it's really tough because there's only so much you can do to really combat that kind of stuff. When prospects might ask you about it, all you can say is we don't know, because they really have no idea what kind of penalties they might face in the end and how that's going to impact the program over the next couple of years. And that's what players want to know. It's not something that every prospect mentions to you. So it's something that I still think, you know, if Tennessee were to self-impose some penalties this year, I still think it's going to catch some prospects off guard a little bit, because it's not been necessarily at the forefront of their mind, especially if they're not a 2022 prospect. You know, some of those 2023 guys who are just getting started with Tennessee, I think they're going to be sort of blindsided by that a little bit in some cases. But it's come up with enough guys that, yeah, it's something that's at least affecting them a little bit. And just the uncertainty sometimes can be worse than the punishment itself. So other schools definitely don't mind filling in the blanks there and saying, hey, you don't know what Tennessee might face. They might have a 3-year bowl ban or whatever they want to throw out. That sounds awful. They can just do that. And there's nothing Tennessee really can do to shut that down other than maybe say, we don't think it's going to be quite that bad, but we don't know yet. I mean, that's essentially all you can do. So that does make it tough. But, you know, to your point, I think that's the biggest thing fans need to keep in mind. They've got three commitments. They got off to a little slow start, not getting anybody till mid-April. You know, they've gotten things rolling a little bit here lately, but it's easy to me to see why things started off that slowly, though. It was during a dead period, and it was at a time when, frankly, Tennessee's had as little buzz in recruiting from the end of the Jeremy Pruitt era into the first weeks of the Josh Heupel era. That point, Tennessee was talked about so little among top prospects nationally. It's probably even worse than any point I've seen from any of the previous coaching transitions, where they were just not a hot name even in the final months of the Jeremy Pruitt era, because the last season went so badly too. So when you put all that together, and not being able to meet guys on campus to build some early momentum, it was just tough for this staff to get things going and to make up for lost time being hired in late January. So now that they've gotten things rolling, I think they're in a better spot, but still you got to fight that NCAA stuff and all the uncertainty. And that's a challenge for sure.
Snead, Herring, Tavon Jackson, Tennessee's already got committed. They'll come into town as well, do some visiting too once that's opened up. I thought Snead was a very big addition for Tennessee, especially when the Ty Simpson thing didn't work out. You also had Sam Horn. But now you look at Tavon, and I think he's the type of quarterback that could help Tennessee in the future. Give me a couple guys Tennessee fans need to be on the lookout for maybe over the next 2 to 3 months. You know, not saying they're going to pop and they're going to commit, but what are some position and some guys around the country or around the state that Tennessee fans need to keep a lookout on?
Yeah, I think obviously this staff has kind of started and focused a lot on in-state prospects. So I think a lot of the names to watch are certainly there. You know, they're still battling to get back in the mix or to make up some ground with some guys in state, but they've really made up some ground with some in state targets that they've been after for a long time, like Cameron Miller, the four-star receiver in Memphis, Isaiah Horton, the four-star receiver in Murfreesboro, guys like that. I think they've really gotten right back in the thick of it with them. Fisher Anderson, the four-star tackle from Franklin, you know, guys like that. They're in decent shape with and have a real shot at those types of guys. And then they're in pretty good shape with, Caden Pope, the receiver from Savannah over at Hardin County High School. Some guys like that in state, Giovanni Davis, the defensive tackle from South Pittsburgh. So those are certainly some names to watch in the coming months. As far as this summer, because we've already seen a bunch of official visits set up. I think among the guys to watch, Jordan McDonald, a running back from Georgia, Milton High School, there in the Atlanta area, who actually just came in for the spring game, was among the dozen or 15 Tennessee targets who made it in for that and was pretty impressed and went with a couple of teammates too, including LT Overton, the number one player in the 2023 class. So that was actually a pretty good haul to get a few guys in from Milton, and his teammate as well, Mo Clipper, a couple of teammates there that Tennessee has offered and is pursuing. Both of those guys, certainly worth watching, but Jordan McDonald in particular, as they look to address running back, again, a position where they don't have a lot of proven experience there. I think still need a couple good guys in this class. And Jordan McDonald is one they're in pretty good shape with. And that official visit in June certainly looms large. And just a bunch of other guys to watch. But certainly, I think they feel a lot better about things now having Taven Jackson on board. You know, it's hard to overstate the importance of that addition. And, we'll see if they face any competition to hold on to him in the coming months. But that was a big, big pickup considering what this staff needs. And like you said, even if he's not a day one starter at quarterback, even if he needs some time to develop, just a talented guy, you like his upside, and that one speaks volumes, I think, about what this staff will be able to do in recruiting once they're able to kind of sell their product. This shows, hey, we can go out and recruit quarterbacks, we can recruit some offensive players. Now, can they back that up with some defensive guys and everything else they need to fill out a roster? But this is what fans were kind of expecting from this staff. So to get a guy like that to hang their hat on, I think that was a big deal.
Ryan, man, thank you so much for joining. Tell everybody what's going on at 247, Go Vols 247 right now. Any kind of deals you guys got going on? What kind of content y'all are putting out? Anything?
Yeah, we just had a deal that ended, unfortunately, but still got our usual special, $1 for the first month, a great time to check out the site. Going into, again, if you're a recruiting fan, June is going to be just – you're heaven. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be wild for us to keep track of everything. You know, Tennessee's got several camp dates, official visitors every single weekend, players going other places for visits. Obviously, there's going to be a lot to keep track of. It's going to feel like if you like covering or following mid-year recruiting, it's going to be like the stretch run to signing day in a way. It's going to be pretty hectic. So lots to keep track of on that front. And obviously we're leading up to that with a ton of coverage to kind of see where guys are going in the next several weeks. So lots of coverage there, obviously wrapping up spring practice and looking ahead to the 2021 football season, basketball recruiting, plenty going on. And we've got it all covered for you at govols247.com.
Ryan, my man, thank you for joining, buddy. Hope you have a great day and we'll do this again in the near future.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Trey.
Thanks, Ryan.